This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Happy Thursday to you, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Albrock and Caster here. Max Power in producing. We're glad to be here with you. A lot to get to on the show today as we crank up football season's really all over the place. We've got training camp going for the Chiefs. We've got practice underway for both KU today and K-State underway as well. We're going to check in from Manhattan with Tim Fitzgerald from K-State camp, our K-State insider joining a little later in the program. We're going to have Eric Johnson in to talk a little golf, see what his reaction to Scotty's win across the pond is and what's coming up next on the PGA Tour. We'll do that in the show today as well. The Royals, big winners. Big bats against the Cubs. We'll get to that as we make our way through. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, WBC Delano's debut brew, Hatfield's Mama. German Kolsch with a clean, crisp character, smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew, available at all three WBC brew pubs. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Happy Thursday. Good to see you today. We had an update in the TBT last night as well. The KU alumni squad did not make it past the final in their regional, so we will not see an Aftershocks and KU alumni matchup this weekend. However, we will see the Aftershocks inside Koch Arena on Sunday night, so that should be fun. But yeah, KU's alumni team did not get it done last night.
Yeah, it's that's unfortunate, but it's okay. The Aftershocks still get their home game. That would have been pretty cool. But it'll be okay. We're focused in on Wichita State's alumni team trying to get in there, host games, and get that $1 million purse. But that game's not till Sunday. But yes, Jayhawks hoops. They had a chance, man. We just, for whatever reason, we can't get it to happen. They just match them up in the first round or something. Let's make it happen that way. But we make our way through the Royals. Tommy go big last night. We'll get more into this in just a minute. But 8-4 winners over the Cubbies. I mean, it was a lot of home runs yesterday. They had three of them. When Tyler Tolbert's hitting home runs, you're feeling it a little bit here. Bobby Witt Jr. did not play. He's got kind of a little nicked up knee. He says it's fine. The day off today, the day baseball yesterday, maybe just made sense to sit him down. Certainly we'll keep an eye on that. But it does wash away the Marlins series. that you now win against the Cubs, and the Royals continue to play much better, especially offensively here in the month of July. And we're to July 24th, and it just keeps going, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, we've got power coming in bunches, you know, from the Royals over the last, really the entire month, but even after the All-Star break. What's that, three of the last four games for the Royals, they've put up at least seven runs. And so, I mean, you look at that, and outside of the shutout the other day inside Wrigley against the Cubs, they've been able to deliver and produce offensively. And it's been fairly consistent. That's been a major question mark for the Royals. How can they produce offensively on a consistent basis? I like to look at trends. I feel like the team continues to trend better offensively. I know you've referenced the law of averages and, you know, the Royals bats coming alive and kind of balancing out how bad it had been for quite a while. I'd like to think this sort of thing can continue.
I do too. I don't know if it's going to be enough, but I think it can continue. I think what we saw for the first half of the year, basically, it won't be that bad the rest of the way. I don't know if it'll be good enough. And the rumor mills are just swirling right now for the Royals and what they might do. Saw Bubich's name brought up again yesterday. Lugo, of course, stays brought up.
I've seen Mikel Garcia's name floated around too. Have you seen that?
That one doesn't make any sense.
He's shown up on, you know, like best fit for other teams lists. But with the caveat that, you know, the Royals are more than likely not moving a guy the caliber of Mikel Garcia. But I have seen his name pop up on a couple of prominent websites from people speculating different things.
Yeah, a guy that has shown upside historically, can play essentially every position on the field, and has four more years of control after this year. I would say unlikely. That Mikel Garcia gets traded, but
in
you know,
fact,
I guess
so it
you
was
listen on everybody.
Yeah, so it was Jim Bowden writing for the Athletic.
Jim Bowden
writing for the Athletic.
Former GM.
Yep, saying that Mikel Garcia could be a name that the Royals dangle at the deadline. I think that's unlikely, but he also puts Jonathan India in that conversation as well. That they might be shopping infielders because they feel like they've got depth in the infield and they really need help in the outfield. I think that's unlikely, but that article came out yesterday.
I mean, trading India would be probably okay. Trading Mikel Garcia, a team would really have to want him and give you a big haul back for a dude that's going to cost you nothing for the next 4 years and can play everywhere. And do lots of different things too. He's shown this year, he can hit comfortably in different spots in the lineup. That would be a surprise to me. But you never know. You gotta take every call. You gotta listen on everything. I don't think you're so desperate for an outfielder that you shoot yourself in the other foot potentially down the road. But at that point, just go find an outfielder in free agency or something. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Royals call up MJ Melendez yesterday, by the way. You sent that to me. Lots of jokes can come with that because it's been, you know, it was so bad for Melendez this year before he got called down or before he got sent down. But he's shown us historically he can get hot.
He's been good in Omaha. I mean, him being sent down, he's been a productive bat for them down there. It was so bad for him to start the season with the big league squad. And I know it was out of necessity. Nick Lofton is on the concussion list, and so he's got to take a couple of days off, kind of get through all of that. And they needed to replace him with somebody, and it happened to be Melendez. I think expectations should be extremely low that Melendez will have any kind of impact whatsoever on this team in the interim while Lofton is on the concussion list.
He was slugging down there. He is batting .250 with 13 home runs in 72 games. So, and last year, remember, he had stretches where he kind of carried him a little bit. And it's so feast or famine with him. But if you can catch a heater, why not? Right? If he can come up and give you a couple of weeks and and he's figured it out and you've got some pop down there, like, heck yeah, like bring that up. So, and I do also just generally as a rule, I like MJ Melendez. I think his teammates really like him. And I think he's been a pretty interesting player. It just got to the point this year where it got so bad. So that was an interesting roster move yesterday.
Yeah, I think we're going to look back on this season and just the revolving door of outfielders, really outside of Kyle Isbell in center field. But, I mean, guys like Melendez and Renfroe, Mark Canna, Tyler Tolbert, Nick Lofton, John Rave. I mean, like there have been so many different players that they've rotated through trying to find something that sticks. Let's be real. It's not going to be Melendez in his second stint this season in left field. But I think it does illuminate and highlight the fact that they still don't have a permanent solution there in left field.
Yeah, it's not going to be every day Melendez in left field. Now, whether he can come up and rotate in there, I think that's possible. But the Royals also want to add a bat. So we'll get into all that. Let's talk about yesterday's game. Let's talk about the series, and we'll dig in a little bit on the Royals. Don't go away. We got more Sports Daily. It's all Brock and Caster coming to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. You want to win some HTO? You can do that right now by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. You can enter once per day message and data rate supply. You can win a free iced tea from HTO. This will be good for either East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. Good luck, everybody, on that. Got some new drink launches, HTOs, coming with on August 1st, so be prepared for that as well. Tommy, I'm just reading a little bit here. The stuff with the playoff format in college football is getting really interesting. Some reporting from Sports Illustrated this morning that it's essentially the Big Ten on an island, wanting the 4-4-2-2-1 at this point. The SEC coaches did not like that format, which is why the SEC has sort of backed off. But the reporting this morning is that the Big Ten, basically like four different people close to it, are saying they went to the networks and said, oh yeah, we're going to get this and we're going to give you a conference semifinal, essentially, which I've actually said was a good idea for television partners, right? Yeah. Have a semi, have a four team playoff or whatever. And they can't walk it back now, so they've kind of dug their heels in, and so they're the only ones that want this of the four main leagues. Now we told you that yesterday. That would make sense and wouldn't surprise me. Petitti has been he's shot big and in his time there, so that could be what's happening. And now they're saying if they want to go with what everyone else wants, the SEC needs to play another conference game, which has always been a weird, nobody else around the country really cares story. But I guess the Big Ten logic is, well, we have to play one more game, which means we have nine more losses when it comes to selection time. But that doesn't matter. Like, nobody's looking at that. Nobody in that room is looking at that stuff. We know who the teams are. Like, it's, you're not going to not get in because you played one more conference game.
Yeah, I don't think that you're going to be looking at the body of the SEC as a whole and saying, well, I mean, look, they've got nine more losses, so we're gonna hold out one of the teams, from that conference in the playoff. That seems extremely unlikely. What's more likely to happen is that sort of thing just gets completely glossed over and ignored when it comes time to select the teams for the playoff, and you'll see just as many SEC teams as you would have otherwise.
Look, you're probably looking in most years where the Big Ten and the SEC is going to get around five teams in anyway. So I don't think that they're going to be teams where they got screwed by playing that extra game. Usually those teams are going to be top end teams where it's pretty obvious, right, that they should be in there. So I don't know where this goes. I know that the Big Ten has sort of created this island for itself. It's good that the SEC is not aligned with them. If you were the Big 12 and the ACC and you subscribe to what the conference commissioners are saying, that the other format is better. I still maintain that it's riskier because who knows what could happen with this thing, and who knows what we'll get Tim Fitzgerald take on it. I'm curious to hear what he has to say about it, but it's interesting drama here with the new commissioners trying to kind of level the field. All right, let's talk Royals here. Tommy, I mean the bats appear to be, they're not, I wouldn't say they're consistent, but I think they're back for probably closer to what we thought this year would look like offensively. It's certainly been better. It probably hasn't been consistent enough, but it's better. And the question becomes, is it good enough? They'll play six games now. They got a homestand. I'm talking about a critical homestand. Cleveland can pitch. That's going to be a challenge for the bats always. Atlanta, not quite as much, but I do think they run into Spencer Strider in that series. This is it. Six games. It's a homestand. It could define the season. It could define the future of players. JJ Piccolo is going to be careful for that not to happen, but it's almost impossible for it. if it goes negatively, not to have an impact. You've got Vinny Pasquantino yesterday after the game, after Seth Lugo came out and had a nice performance, 6 innings, 2 runs, more vintage Lugo than his last couple of starts. And it was a good opportunity for his teammates to kind of rally behind him and say, we don't want him to go anywhere. They, you know, clearly they think they can get in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do. And I think Matt Quatrero does as well. I mean, he said after the game that he feels like this team is right in it. And, you know, they just need to string together more performances like they've had the last week or so, actually really a lot like the last month. And there have been some not great performances sprinkled in there, but again, trending, this team is performing better, playing better overall holistically than they did in the month of June, than they did in the month of May. They have looked a whole lot better. And I think that part of it is when you watch them play, like in that game yesterday, the 8-4 win, or the win on Monday night where the bats came alive. They passed the eye test. When they perform like that, they look like a playoff team. They look like a postseason team. There was a long stretch of time where they did not pass the eye test whatsoever. And so I think that from a consistency standpoint, sure, like you would love to not have the one-offs like the shutout on Tuesday night when you run into Matthew Boyd, and you'd like to be able to make some noise offensively with that. And, you know, but by and large, I think that there should be a lot more optimism surrounding the construction of this team right now than what, a month ago or 3 weeks ago even?
There's no question.
No question about that. And so, but I think then the question becomes, and you brought it up in the last segment, is it going to be enough? Is it enough to get you over the hump? And, you know, I know that every single year leading up to the trade deadline, there are really difficult decisions to be made by a lot of teams. It doesn't happen very often when you've got a team that you just flat out, everybody knows what they're going to do and there's really no drama. You know, they're either selling everybody, they're buying everybody, like whatever the case might be. A lot of times this becomes the most difficult time for a general manager to assess and figure out what direction we go. I can't remember a time where it has been more difficult for JJ Piccolo. I even think last year was easier for him because, like,
well, yeah, they knew they wanted to buy.
Right, exactly. So I think, again, we're that much closer to the deadline, and I still believe there are multiple directions they can go.
They can do so many things to buy and sell. They could afford and justify selling a starting pitcher, a relief pitcher, an infielder, to Jim Bowden's point, I suppose, because they do have some depth there and they just added Frazier, and they could buy an outfielder. And I think all of those things are probably being discussed and on the table right now. So those things immediately become the most interesting. But to me, the most interesting thing is whether or not they can, you know, still try to reach the postseason. And that's going to be on the table no matter what they do at the deadline. And I think that's important because it makes this season a whole lot more fun. Like, I don't care what they do at the deadline, they're still going to be, with the players they'll have there, in this conversation and in this postseason mix. We haven't talked about it at all, but Detroit is stumbling hard right now. They've only won one of their last 10 games. I think the Royals have gained something like 4 games on them in the last 10 or 12 days or something like that. So they're 10 games back of them. I only bring it up because what if Detroit goes into the cold stretch and Kansas City can get hot? Kansas City plays them 6 more times this year. So we'll keep an eye on that too. Everything has been focused on the wild card, but just in the very, 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 very back portions of your head, keep in mind, when you're talking about the division, you only have to chase one team, and you don't have to, you know, it's not 6 other teams in the mix. When it comes to the Tigers, if they are going to come back down to earth, that's something to watch, because it wouldn't take much in a really cold stretch to continue for them and a really hot stretch for the Royals for the division race to become really interesting again. So this is the strangest baseball season. Tommy, the 3 best records in the American League, they all have 60 wins, right? Like, it's just such a bizarre, even. There is not a team in baseball right now playing .600 baseball.
Yeah.
It's July 24th.
Yep.
There is not one team in baseball above 600 right now. That's crazy.
Well, and the teams that are all there in both leagues that have either leading their division or leading the wild card, they're all different. Like, you've got your big market Dodgers and Yankees in there, but then you've got the Brewers, you know, with the best record in baseball. You know, you've got the Blue Jays are up in there. Like, it's a variety of different teams that have found their way to the top of their divisions and top of the wild card. One other thing to keep in mind, I mean, it makes, and I know we'll preview this series later on, but it makes this weekend series at home against the Guardians so important. The Guardians are now in second place in the division. They're one game over 500, so the Royals would have to leapfrog them to catch the Tigers. Also, they're ahead of the Royals in the wild card race as well. And so
they're white hot.
And they're white hot. So and they are, they're trending up while Detroit is trending down. And so if you're Cleveland, you absolutely think, man, like, we could catch the Tigers as well. Like, this is not just a couple team race here. Like, the Guardians are, like they always are, back in the mix when I think a lot of people kind of left them for dead. They're trending up and they're peaking at the right time.
And Minnesota could do the same thing. So, like, there are just, if you just look right now, like, there are 22 teams in baseball that legitimately feel like they're capable of reaching the postseason. Like, they're within enough games if things go their way. 22 teams. Nobody's running away with it. The two coldest teams in baseball have been the two best teams in baseball for most of the year, the Dodgers and the Tigers. So it's just like it to me, all of this says, like, what the Royals have gone through in a cold streak is not anything unique to pretty much any team this year. Did you ever think the Tigers were going to lose 9 out of 10?
No, not at all.
I mean, that's where we are right now. And it's just, and it hasn't been to good teams either, right? Like, it hasn't been, they just, I believe they were just swept by the Pirates. So, like, it's for everyone, it's like this. So for me, at the end of the day, like, I just look at rosters and I know I say this all the time, but just like roster to roster, when you consider what Noah Cameron's brought to the table, and you consider that at some point Cole Reagan's, we hope, will come back, there, I don't think there are many, if any, overwhelmingly more talented rosters when you think about starting pitching, relief pitching, defense, and offense than the Royals. The offense has just underperformed. They're an elite defensive team. They have elite starting pitching and depth, and they have a good bullpen. I don't know if it's great, but it's good. It's a lot better than some of the teams that are, you know, ahead of them. So at some point, like, just see where the chips fall.
Well, and listen, right? There are some stats out there that back up the claim that this team is trending upward and that the consistency, at least offensively, is getting better. I mean, I remember us talking about how they ranked like dead last in the league, in all of Major League Baseball for that matter, in things like home runs, and they had the most runners left on base, runners left in scoring position, all these different metrics that you look at. A lot of those numbers have improved over the last month or so. Kansas City is no longer down at the very bottom of Major League Baseball as far as their slugging percentage is concerned. Now, they're not great. They're still in the bottom 10, but they're not dead last like they were before. They're not dead last in home runs per game like they were. They're still near the bottom, but I remember them being dead last at one point. It wasn't that long ago that happened. And you know, I remember us looking at, all right, how many runners are they leaving in scoring position per game? And they were, like, I think number one or number two in Major League Baseball. And we talked about how unclutch they had become because they weren't able to drive runs in. That's not the case anymore. They are smack dab in the middle of Major League Baseball as far as driving in runners and not having runners left in scoring position per game. So taking a look at some of those things that we have been calling out for so long, they're starting to get better. They actually, you know, when you look at the actual constructive statistics, they are improving in those areas.
I keep breaking out July. And in July, they're a top third offense.
Yeah.
you know, their power, they've hit the fifth most home runs in the month of July. But I don't think that's the only thing. It's been real handy for them because you know you score the runner. But they're basically top third in the month of July, and all of these things they've been dead ass last in all year prior to July. And so is that sustainable? Again, I don't know if they're going to do that the rest of the way, but they're almost certainly going to be better than they were. And is it too late? I don't know. The offense is largely the same. They don't strike out. They don't walk. That's probably an approach thing that needs to change a little bit in the offseason, but they do appear to be a little more patient than they had been. But even when they were struggling, they don't strike out. I think they just make contact on pitches they shouldn't be swinging at. Maybe that's been one of the weirder things. If you look inside the numbers for them, is that they've been so bad and they don't strike out. It's the clutch thing, which is not, there's not really a stat for that, but home runs, you know, eliminate the need to be clutch, right? Home runs take that necessity away. You just score everybody with one swing like that. So we'll see. I think it's in the cards for them to be in the mix until the end of this season. And I hope that stays the same. And what was it, 2 weeks ago now, JJ Piccolo basically laid out that they're not letting individual games dictate it. And I believe that. I think they know as an organization they need another outfielder. And so as an organization, not based on wins and losses at the current moment, if they think they can go find an outfielder, they'll find an outfielder. I think they know as an organization, Seth Lugo's, you know, contractual situation is not the best for them. So if other teams would like to have him, they'll listen, and they'll listen on every player on the roster and ride it out. But no matter what they do, I don't think what we're talking about changes any. They're going to be almost certainly in the mix the rest of the way. Maybe they can get in the mix in the division again. Who knows? But in the wild card, probably. Because there's so many games still to play, and there's so many teams in and out of it every other day. It's a nonstop cycle. It's been one of the craziest seasons to watch because of it. And the two teams that I watch every night are both right in the middle of it. The Rangers and the Royals, they're very similar teams. They both struggle offensively. They both pitch like crazy, and they both have just been hovering. And then I look up and down and I'm like, well, you know what? That's been kind of everybody all year. Like, everybody's kind of hovering. There's a handful of bad teams and that's it.
Look, I said it yesterday and I'll say it again. And I think you agree with this. This team goes as Salvador Perez goes. That's the way that it works. I mean, he's the captain. He's the leader of this team. And he, I think, admittedly, he would probably say this too, was not performing the way that he wanted to and the way that he thought he could. And the team, I think, reacted appropriately to that. Like, they were not winning baseball games during that time.
You want to win a trip to see Zach Brown Band, Love and Fear, live at the Sphere in Las Vegas this December. It includes a two-night stay in a suite at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas, the only hotel directly connected to the Sphere. It's easy to enter the national contest for a chance to win a trip to the show. Download the Odyssey app, listen to KFH for at least an hour. You can learn more at odyssey.com/Zach, thanks to the Messina Touring Group. Good luck on that contest, everybody. Tommy, we come back. It is Chiefs training camp, day two of practice, kind of the focus on the defense in day two. The defense is interesting. Hasn't been talked about a ton. I'm guilty of that too. They have some losses, but largely they're running it back with an infusion of a couple of young guys. There's definitely a path for them to be as good as they've been the last couple of years. I don't know if I think there's a path for them to be better. I suppose there is if the rookies just absolutely ball out. But they should be a strength of this team again. It's one of the reasons I think the floor is always moderately high. It's like you have Mahomes and that whole thing, but lately it's been because the defense is almost certainly going to keep you in the games that you're playing. It's how they won a ton of games last year. The defense bailed them out offensively. I mean, how many games? Until the end of the season, it felt like every week. And so they don't get a lot of attention, but it should be another good unit this year.
I really want to know what the defensive line is going to shake out to look like opposite of Chris Jones. We know what Jones does year in and year out, even as another year older. I mean, that's locked in and set in stone. We know that, that he's going to be as productive as he usually is, I'm sure. but they don't have Tershawn Wharton anymore. So what do they do opposite of Chris Jones? You know, Mike Pinnell is back on the roster. He's kind of been more of a spot guy. I'm not sure that he's an every down defensive lineman. And so what do you expect out of him? Really, you're probably going to be leaning a lot on the rookie, on Omar Norman Lott. And what can he do as a second round rookie coming in and playing on that line? I know they signed Jerry Tillery. Tillery's an older guy. He's an older player. So, you know, I don't exactly know what the rotations are going to look like. That's a big question mark for me, is how effective can that defensive line be outside of Chris Jones?
Yeah, I think good. I think effective. You know, they just locked up Karlaftis. I don't know what my biggest question on the defense is.
Well, I'm talking about like the interior defensive line. Like, I know that they've got edge. They've got edge all taken care of. Like, that, I don't have an issue about that. But you know, you've got Jones, and then who's other guy?
I have some issue with it. I think if this defense is truly going to become a game wrecking defense, rushing the quarterback has always been a need for them. And that's gonna fall on familiar faces, but it could happen. And yeah, maybe it happens from the interior because Norman Lott's also really good. I'm curious just to see him play. Just when was the last time the Chiefs spent high draft capital on an interior defensive line? Was it Chris Jones?
Probably. Like, it's been a long time.
I'm curious to see that. And yeah, he could. All the rookies could make and second year players too. I know a lot of people have pointed to all the second-year players on this defense. Remember how many defensive players they've been drafting over the years. So,
I mean, even Tershawn Wharton, you know, who they don't have anymore at defensive tackle, the Chiefs didn't draft him. He was an undrafted free agent, and the Chiefs signed him after the draft. So you probably do have to go back to Chris Jones, unless I'm missing somebody that the Chiefs actually drafted.
I can't think of one off the top of my head. Something Spag said that I thought was interesting yesterday, because early in the offseason, when the Chiefs chose to go and pay Nick Bolton, I don't want to say there was pushback on that, but that was the guy I think people just assumed was going to go. Here's what Steve Spagnuolo said about Bolton yesterday. He said he's just about everything. He's Patrick Mahomes for us on the defense. I've said this before. We're pretty multiple defensively. If we don't have that guy, it gets really challenging. He says, you know, when we look back to when we didn't know if we were getting Nick, I had it in my mind. I was preparing. If we don't have Nick, what do we do? It's just not the same. So thank God he's here. I think that tells you probably where the Chiefs were in that. They probably just had a conversation with Steve Spagnuolo. And I believe this too, because we all know one of the beauties and one of the reasons he's been so good at what he does, Steve Spagnuolo, is because he's multiple. He keeps offenses guessing. It's what, you know, it's the, whether it's the, you know, blitzes coming from the secondary or the well time, like all that stuff has to be called out there. Nick Bolton's been his guy for that. So I was really pleased when they brought Bolton back, just because it felt like they were committing to the consistency of the defense to some degree. I think it's really interesting to hear. Everybody wants to talk about Karlaftis and Chris Jones and these superstars, and he's just beaming about Nick Bolton, who got paid, but I do think is probably an underrated part of what Spags does defensively specifically.
Yeah, I think that you have to separate the production of Nick Bolton, and you have to separate that away from the importance of Nick Bolton. They're two.
I agree.
They're two totally different things. Because did he deserve the kind of contract that he got solely based on his production? No. Like, if you put it on paper, you're like, man, he's an okay linebacker. He plays with his hair on fire, which is fun to watch. I've always appreciated Nick Bolton for that regard. But is he the best linebacker in the world? No, he's not. I think everybody knows that, right? And so at first glance, when you look at the fact that they re-signed him and what they're paying him, just on paper, it's like, well, man, did he really deserve that? But there's a lot of intangibles there. And Spagnuolo has talked about that and about the importance of him calling the defense and being kind of that field general out there for the defense, kind of the guy that everybody looks to on, okay, what's the play call and how are we executing and all of that. I think that it's harder to put a value on that and have it really be understandable in the whole scheme of what Nick Bolton does for this team. That's why he got paid. That's why he's back on the roster. And I know it's hard to do, to separate out the actual production to the importance of what he's been doing and the way that he kind of runs that defense.
think of it like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it really does get that. So that's why I thought that comparison was really interesting.
Yeah, but Mahomes has the production to back it up. So it's easier to be able to.
Hang on, though. Does Mahomes have the production statistically?
Sure.
To back up being the highest paid quarterback?
Historically,
not
yes.
Over the
Historically,
over the last 2 years. Not over the last 2 years, he doesn't. Now, I'm not – nobody's doubting Mahomes is the best. I just – we don't think of the quarterback of the defense the same way we think of the quarterback of the offense. But I think the point is, like, even though Mahomes statistically – has not been the high, you know, has not been the top performer in the league. Everyone still knows what he is and why he's so important. And he's the, you know, he's the GOAT right now and all of those things. It's not because he's putting up the gaudiest stats. He's not even close the last couple of years. Bolton may not put up the gaudiest stats. He may not, but he is, according to Spagnuolo, what Mahomes is to the offense. And I think that that tells you, like, he's critical. And honestly, when you look in totality as a whole to what this defense has done the last 2 years, he's not saying that about Chris Jones, right? He's saying that about Nick Bolton. And so I think it just tells you, like, how important for the entire unit to be able to do what it's done. I do think it's very comparable, obviously at a lesser scale than Mahomes on the offense, but it's not that Mahomes has the best numbers. It's that Mahomes always has his team with a chance to win, and he always makes the big plays, and he makes the right calls, and he makes the right checks, and when it matters the most. Bolton's probably, we don't see it as much, doing the same thing for the defense, which has been a top unit the last 2 years. It has been the reason, I think, for the last two Super Bowl appearances, one of them was a win, one of them was a loss, is because the defense has been so good.
I'll tell you right now, there have been multiple times that I've been frustrated with Nick Bolton, just like a missed tackle, you know, or not being in the right spot. Like, he can be a frustrating player at times, but at the same time, there is nobody that I trust more than Steve Spagnuolo. Like, I don't know if there's another defensive coordinator in the league that I trust more than him, right? And so if he says, I need Nick Bolton to run this defense, all right, in Spags we trust. And so I'm gonna be on board with that and just kind of know that, yeah, there might be a couple boneheaded plays here and there, or there may be physical limitations, or he may not be a game wrecker like other linebackers that we know around the league. And so, yeah, you can easily point at that and say, they paid that guy? Like, they couldn't have found somebody else to be the linebacker, but when you peel back the onion and you recognize that he is essential to Steve Spagnuolo, okay, I can get on board with that. I can take the bad with the good. I can be frustrated at times by, you know, some of the limitations that Nick Bolton has, because apparently Spags needs him, and that's enough for me. I'm okay with that.
Well, it happens with other players. Like, why does Juju Smith-Schuster keep ending up on the roster? Why have the Chiefs tried Mecole Hardman so many times? Why is it important for them to have Kareem Hunt on the roster right now, even though he clearly physically is not even close to the player he used to be? It's because Andy Reid needs those guys. He trusts those guys. He wants those guys there. They're not even close to the most talented players. They could go find somebody more talented than Kareem Hunt. Right now, it wouldn't be that hard. Probably. I'd say that, and I shouldn't say that so definitively, but just based on limitations and things, there are other players that can do those things. But those guys become important for various reasons. Nick Bolton, I would imagine, is far more important in what he means than any of those guys, because he's the one out there calling plays and doing all this stuff for Steve Spagnuolo. So
on top of that, I think another important nugget with Nick Bolton is that had he ended up going to another team, he could have been a wealth of information to that other team. Like, yeah, hey, this is what we do. This is what we call defensively. So, hey, offensive coordinator on my new team, I want to tell you about everything that we did in Kansas City. And if you want to try to find a way to slay the dragon, I can help you with that. So I do think having that knowledge, that's an important piece of it too.
And remember how easy it's been for the Chiefs to watch more maybe gifted players or more gaudy players just go. Like D Ford, like, no problem, see you later. you know, he jumped off the screen far more than Bolton does most of the time.
They let Justin Reed walk. They've let L'Jarius Sneed walk. I mean,
they've
like they let
Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah. Congratulations on your retirement, Honey Badger. Walk. I mean, they do it all the time. And so, like, again, they chose not to do it with this guy. There's probably a really, really good reason for that. And so I thought it was cool for Spags to get a chance to kind of speak on that a little bit. Isaiah Pacheco also talked yesterday. One other interesting note coming out of this for me is he talked about what he learned from last year, and he just kind of played less football in the offseason. Like, his lesson was he's got to be physically ready. I thought that was also pretty – for that guy to say that, I'm talking about, like, growing as a person. You know how hard it is for Isaiah Pacheco probably to not go just try to run through walls all day long? I was glad to hear that too. He's a really interesting player that can make this team a whole lot better if he can stay on the field, and I hope he does. I hope he's able to.
There's not another position in football where you've got the players having pretty short shelf lives, just the nature of the position. And when you are going full bore and you're running through walls and you're running like you're mad at the grass, like Isaiah Pacheco does, that shelf life can get a whole lot shorter. So that's a maturity factor that apparently he is working for.
He still hasn't really been paid to play football very much. Like, let's see if he can get a second contract. All right, we'll come back. We got a little golf talk with Eric Johnson next hour. We got Tim Fitzgerald in to talk K-State. All kinds of good stuff coming for you in our next hour of Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are joined to start off the hour with Eric Johnson. Talk a little golf. Eric, before we get to the 3M Open, which will feature three guys we follow here locally, Sam Stevens, Gary Woodland, Adam Hadwin, we got to go back and revisit the Open Championship, the British Open, and Scottie Scheffler doing the Scottie Scheffler things. We joked when you were with us last week, like, he was four or five strokes behind, and you couldn't even justify betting him to win. He was getting like 2-1 odds at that point.
Right. I mean, it was like free money.
Golly. It's crazy. Is this you? Do you think, and I know other guys have had runs like this, but do you think he's the guy that could have the sustained success that we saw with Tiger, who could stretch it out the longest?
I mean, we're so far from having that discussion on it. I mean, it's good to start it, but like, I thought the stat was funny. They were talking about how he's like won 18 or 19 straight 54 hole leads. Tiger did it like 39 straight times.
It's crazy, Eric, because, you know, with Scotty, he's just a guy that he doesn't make mistakes. And I know you've played a lot of competitive golf. You've been in a lot of tournaments and whatever. And it's not like Scotty's doing crazy things. Like, he's not like making these ridiculous looking shots. He just doesn't make mistakes. And when he does, he's able to get up and down. He doesn't compound his mistakes from a competitive standpoint. What is that like when you just know that the person that you're chasing is never going to slip up?
I know a couple guys like that here around town, but I mean, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy it. I don't know if I've been in that position, but yeah, I've been in a couple tournaments where guys, it's like, okay, I'm four back, and then blink of an eye, I'm eight back. It's like, okay, what just happened? And then they just put the pressure on you, and you're like, well, do I keep pressing and try to catch him when I know I can't, and then blow it? But I mean, he makes it look so easy. Like, there's no dramatics about it. It's not a crazy Tiger shot from 280 over the water into a tucked pin. It's just like routine stuff for him. So I find it interesting how competitive he is. He kind of talked about that this week, but I thought it was really cool that he doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's doing it his way, and he does not like to lose. So
his conversations are getting a lot of attention. He doesn't like to lose, but he's trying, I think, to make it as clear as he can to people that this isn't the most important thing happening in his life, which is unusual usually for the alpha to get out and say those things publicly. Most of the time, whatever it is that they're doing is the most important thing in their life.
Right.
I think Scotty just doesn't like to lose. That's pretty much it for him, but he clearly wants everybody to know, like, golf is not his driving force. which is interesting for the alpha to publicly take that approach.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he was pretty open about like, hey, if Bennett says I miss you, yeah, he's like, I'm good. I might just check out.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I've heard that before.
Yeah, like Jacob mentioned, we've got the 3M Open up in Minneapolis coming up this weekend. Three guys that we follow locally. Of course, Sam Stevens, Gary Woodland, Adam Hadwin. Sam, and what he's been able to do so far this year on the PGA Tour, on the money list and all of that. I mean, he is turning into a bona fide, consistent PGA Tour member, contender, whatever you want to call him. From what you've been able to see in his development over the years, where do you think he stands?
I think he's a Texas guy. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, Sam is a lot like Scottie Scheffler was in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, they're both from Dallas. They're both,
HTO right there.
They're both very family orientated. And they both work really hard, and they both hate to lose. I've played with Sam a few times, and like, he made one mistake, and then he birdied six in a row. And I was like, okay, man, I get it. I know you messed up one hole, but you know, we see him out at Crestview. You know, you see it's a job for him. He does not like to lose either. So I mean, he's 200 through three. They've shown him one time this morning on the par three, but it's kind of frustrating. But yeah, I mean, if he could eliminate 10 this year, he'd be in the top 20.
I just put he and Woodland and Hadwin with top 10 finishes together, and it was like, you know, $5 to win $4,000 or something. Let's get it done, local Wichita tie golfers. Where is the 3M?
It's in Minneapolis, I believe, in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, Twin Cities. I mean, I think some people have had conversations with him. I think he's not in it for the – he's not trying – I mean, I know he wants to win and that, but he's very patient with what he's doing, and he has a process, and it's working. So, yeah, good for him.
It's working today. Hopefully he gives us a follow here over the weekend because, you know, he's off to a good start this morning. I don't know anything about this course. It looks like there's a lot of guys – a lot more guys scoring so far in the early goings through about five holes than there are not scoring through five holes. So who knows?
Yeah. I'm excited. I get to go watch him at the 3M, St. Jude. So
nice.
I get to follow him for a day. That's the first round of the FedEx. So,
oh, nice.
Be fun.
That's a couple weeks from now, I believe, isn't it? We're getting into the FedEx playoffs. You know,
August 7th, I think.
Okay,
that's the first time.
All right, very cool. Hey, while we've got you, Eric, we got to talk a little bit about Swing 365. Obviously,
yeah.
You know, great fun, great simulator on the east side of town. Jacob and I and a couple of friends went and enjoyed it the other night. You guys are, I mean, the word is getting out around town. If folks want to go out and have some private practice, private play on the full swing simulator that you guys have at 127th and Central, it's there and available for folks. What's the reaction continuing to be like around the city?
It's starting to pick up a little momentum. You know, we're obviously in favor of all these guys that have simulators in town. Ours is a different animal than theirs. Someone used the analogy the other day is like, some of them are kind of the bowling alley atmosphere, where ours is a little more private. You can practice, or you can hang out with some buds and play if you're a member. But you know, we started a new special this week where for $50, you can be a member for a week and have access to it. You know, it's all automated. There's no employees. You come and go as you please at your scheduled time, as you guys know. You can stay until midnight if you want.
Yeah, but we went up and watched the aftershocks.
We did.
And that's what
it was fun.
We swung, hit some balls, and watched the aftershocks. It's great, actually.
It's great. We've got 2 80-inch TVs in there. So, guys, we have guys come in, and they'll play Prairie Dunes and watch a Royals game. We've got ESPN. We've got YouTube TV in there. They'll turn a game on one TV and the music on another.
The cool thing, too, and I'm going to tease this now, we're going to be doing some giveaways. So we're going to be giving away an opportunity to get in and have listeners that's be able awesome. To try out the simulator. So that's going to be coming soon. Yeah. Eric and I working out the details on all of that. But it's a lot of fun because, you get a chance to, you know, just kind of go in and hang out and have a good time and work on your game. I mean, you can play casually. You can try to dial in your shots. I mean, you can use it for whatever you need it to.
Yeah, Jacob will appreciate that. Have you got into the Pin Seeker software yet, Jake?
No, it's probably a good thing. If you'd have seen me go 10 cup, what was it, Tommy? 8 times?
Yeah, you, one of the holes that we played, I think you shot a 17 on that hole, I believe.
Yes.
Couldn't get over the water.
It took me eight. It was straight out of 10 cup, right over the water, 8 times, right into the water. And yeah.
I think after the sixth time, I said, maybe you want a club up. Like maybe you need a different club. That might not be a terrible idea for you.
If you're fast enough, you can get to the touch screen and hit mulligan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
except Tommy would, you know, wouldn't let me do that.
No, the Pin Seeker software is an online, it's kind of like DFS. You can go play par 3 contests with guys all over the country that are using the Full Swing technology, and you can buy 3 swings for $5. But yeah.
Cool.
I'll get you on that.
Okay. We'll give it a shot. We'll give it a shot. Yeah. Eric, we appreciate it.
Yeah, guys. Have fun. See you next week.
Go Sam. Go Sam Stephen. Yeah. Gary Woodland just even threw one. He just teed off as well. Adam Hadwin will tee off here pretty quick. We'll keep our eye on that 3M Open. It could be a great local follow this week, Tom. I must set a reminder to check in on that throughout the day. It'd be awesome if we could get those local guys collectively in the mix there. Since we didn't get to see any of them today, I'm Open Champion.
I know. None of them played.
Just ridiculous. I hate when those guys aren't in the majors. It drives me crazy. But they're here. They're back. They're on the tour this week. We'll follow along. We appreciate Eric for stopping by, talking a little golf. Isn't that crazy as good as Scottie Scheffler been? And Eric's probably right. It is crazy to start. It's crazy to still compare anybody to Tiger's run. But it feels to me like this one has the best chance to get close. Whereas most of the other, was it Spieth had one, yeah. McIlroy had one. I know there's one more.
Koepka had a run. Yeah, Justin Koepka Johnson had a run.
Probably had the best one.
There are always a lot of people that, you know, you point out and you're like, that's going to be the next Tiger. Scotty, it seems like, I mean, he's 27. He's got the longevity potentially.
Yeah.
To make it interesting. I think that's as far as we can go.
And the way he plays it seems like his floor just is through the roof. I mean, maybe that's his greatest attribute, is it feels like he's never going to be bad. So it just inherently gives him all these advantages. Anyway, we'll come back. We got to talk Tim Fitzgerald. Let's talk a little K-State football, get his take on this college football playoff rumbling. That's all coming next for you. Don't go away. We've got more Sports Daily coming right up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And that'll be coming with our buddy Tim Fitzgerald. Want to tell you real quick, though, about the Summer Concert Series back in Wichita at Nafsker Park this weekend. Returns Friday, July 25th. The Astronauts are live on stage. That's tomorrow. Gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. Free live music, food trucks, Friday night fun all summer long. You can find the full schedule at kfhradio.com. We've got Tim Fitzgerald. Fitz, you're at the stadium now, correct? You're at practice?
No, not yet. I'm getting ready to head over. I'm about 2 minutes away from there.
Okay. Are you what's the feel like in year? How many years is this covering K-State football for you?
Good Lord. This would be full-time 31.
31 years. Wow. The buzz feel any different this year? Like what's yeah. The vibe? Give us a vibe check up there.
Yeah, I think there's a quiet confidence about this team that feels familiar. I mean, I just think this team knows it could be really good, and that emphasis on could be. They've got to get there, but I think they feel like they have the pieces to win a Big 12 title and get to the playoff, but you know, you have to do it 12 games in a row, you know, starting really soon, and that is easier said than done. The Big 12, you get challenges almost every week, and you just got to take them one at a time, pick them off. And I think this team learned some valuable lessons, particularly Avery Johnson, from last year's season.
As you are heading to the stadium and watching practice and all of that, what are the major things that you are going to be keeping a close eye on?
I'll probably immediately check in on the offensive line depth, because when they do drills, as you know, groups of five coming off the ball and stuff, they often usually do it as the depth chart reflects. So that and the receivers too. Defensively, it's a little more difficult because they're off just doing stuff. They go outside and do different drills and stuff, so you don't really get to see a depth chart, so to speak. But that's what I'll be kind of keeping my eye on, is anything that indicates who's starting and where.
Yeah, there's not a lot of questions there, though, is there? Like, you mentioned the line. They're going to have questions to answer defensively. What are you expecting? Two, three, maybe new starters on the defense. Isn't that kind of what's making K-State one of the favorites of the league? Is just they have a lot coming back in a league where there's not a lot coming back anywhere.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they'll have, you know, it might be four new starters on defense, but you know, it's guys that played last year at the bowl game for the most part, or transfers coming in with experience. So, but they're key elements, you know, linebackers are, you know, the two of them are back and experienced and very good. So I think they're in really good shape on defense. They just got to make sure that secondary plays better, and particularly zone coverages, than they did last year, because that was the biggest problem with the defense last year was pass defense breakdowns.
Fitz, the news came out a few days ago that one of the projected starters on the line for the Wildcats, Ohio State transfer George Fitzpatrick, had a medical emergency or a medical incident at practice last week, working his way back. What do we know about that situation?
Not a whole lot. I think he's doing well. I don't know if he'll be at practice. I think he's out of the hospital. I'm not sure. But certainly we'll be checking in on him. And, you know, it's hard to tell how serious it was. It was serious enough to be taken to the hospital, let's be clear. But is it affected his season? We just don't know yet. Is it something he's going to bounce back from, where it's all uncertain? So I'll be looking for him and certainly looking to see who's at left tackle with him out.
How about the coaching staff, Fitz? We're in, you know, year two of a lot of this now. How, you know, is there growth there for some of these assistants that had to be replaced? Do you think there are things that they could learn in a second year that benefit, or does it make much of a difference at this point?
Yeah, I think they're in, you know, they've got some key transition spots on this coaching staff with new offensive coordinator Matt Wells and, you know, new offensive line coach and Brian LePack. And I think there's a great deal of confidence that they're more than equipped to take those jobs. But again, you've got a offensive line coach who's never really done it before. He's been around it, but he's not been the boss. So based on how his tight ends have played over the course of his time at Kansas State, I would say offensive line's in a pretty good shape because I think Brian LePack's a good coach.
New-ish with Matt Wells. Do you expect him to do anything different this year?
Yeah, I do. But I think it's just going to be mostly because of personnel.
Okay.
You know, I think if you've got DJ Giddens and you're the offensive coordinator that doesn't give him the ball, you're a fool. And now without him, I think the way you go about every drive is different now. You don't have DJ plowing to pick up, you know, close to first downs and putting in short yardage. You got to be a little more spread out probably and do some more. What the fans will see is fun and creative, but it's, you know, it's what you have to do when you don't have that big dynamic running back between the tackles. You can still run between the tackles, but it's not your bread and butter.
From a playmaker perspective offensively, I mean, obviously, I think we all expect Dylan Edwards to, you know, take that next step and be, you know, the guy that got the MVP in the Rate Bowl a season ago and be the main playmaker that we know that he is in the running game. Jace Brown is back as a top pass catcher for Avery Johnson. What else do we know as far as guys that you think could step up and be that household name by the end of the season offensively that can be a big target and a big asset for Avery Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, Jaron Tibbs has been the discussion point quite often about the new faces on offense who really could turn it on at receiver. Look, you know, one of the things holding Kansas State back the last, I don't know how many seasons, is, you know, quality of receivers and depth. Last year, I don't think we fully appreciate how much the drops and mistakes by the receivers just derailed this offense. So, yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on those guys because they could change the entire offense if they're just, you know, reliable. They're where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to do, and when they get the ball thrown to them, they catch it. That'll just change K-State's offense dramatically in itself.
Let's go bigger picture, Fitz. Okay. Brett Yarmark has said recently he is not in favor of that 4-4-2-2 playoff model. In fact, it looks like only the Big Ten remains as the league that wants to do it that way. Even the SEC doesn't after hearing from their coaches. I still think I get it. Brett Yormark's betting on the future. I think in the present, it's a better deal for the Big 12. But what part of that future is he betting on there? Is it the newly placed salary cap? Like, history doesn't favor multiple bids for the Big 12 even in a 16-team format. So what is that future he's betting on? Where's that coming from?
No, I think, you know, if last year had been 16, we probably would have seen BYU in the field. So I think he's looking at it that most years you'll get to in a 16-team playoff, just because you'll have a couple teams float to the top. He doesn't want to come to the table and admit that his conference is half of what the Big Ten and SEC are. You just can't do that. You can't demean yourself in that manner and put yourself in a box that you're lesser than. You know, the selection process will do that, but that's not you doing that. Saying we'll just take two bids is a confession that you're not as good. They're not as good right now, but you don't want to send that message to the college football world that you need this crutch to make sure you get two teams in.
Yeah. I mean, three though is what you're.
Yeah.
Three is what you're shooting for. There'd still be at larges. I don't know. I'm going to just defer to the fact that the ACC doesn't want it. The SEC doesn't even really want it. And I understand why they don't want it. There'd be a lot of years they price in seven, you know, or whatever it is. But the Big Ten wants it, and apparently they want it for TV purposes. There's a, I don't know if you saw it from Sports Illustrated this morning, that they've kind of already made some commitments maybe to their TV partners about a sort of like a play-in to the CFP, which I think is a great idea. But yeah, it doesn't sound like anybody else is on board, and then they're kind of in a measuring contest with the SEC about how many conference games each other play. Nobody cares.
I think the more we can have a wedge between the SEC and Big Ten, the better off college football is.
I agree with that. I agree. It's been interesting to see that not hostility, I don't think, but disagreement. It should be better for the remainder. I definitely agree with that. All right, Fitz, you guys are out at practice today. What do you have for us at GoPowerCat.com?
It's a busy day. We've got a podcast dropping at 11. Then we'll have all of our practice coverage, most of it, come out today. And then we got another podcast tomorrow because we had some great questions. So we've got a football one today to go with opening of football practice at Kansas State. And then we'll have a basketball one later in the week on Friday.
Tim Fitzgerald, publisher, GoPowerCat.com. Find all his work at Life of Fitz. Fitz, it's football season. Whether we're ready or not, here it comes.
It's crazy, man. But yeah, we're less than a month till start of football at Kansas State. Well, in Dublin, and we're, you know, 3 weeks from us traveling over there. So it's crazy how fast it's come up.
3 weeks, God, I can't wait for that. It's going to be so good. They better win that game. I'm just saying, it's going to be
huge. Yep.
They better that one does count to the conference standings, right? I know Arizona does not. That one does, though, doesn't
it? Yeah, yep, it does. And that's a heck of a way to start a season. It really is. It makes you put your cards on the table pretty quickly.
Here we go. All right, we'll let Fitz go. We know he's got to get to practice. We appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. But the practice is there. We got TJ Cleland up at KU practice today too. He just sent us a video of the new stadium. It's here, Tommy. It is about to be college football season. I'm with Fitz there at the end, though. The SEC and the Big Ten being at odds is good for us. It's good for the Big 12. It's good for the ACC. you don't want them unified on a unified front, trying to edge out everybody else. I think it's interesting to hear that the SEC coaches don't like the 4-4-2-2 idea. They want just the one and all the at-larges. That I think that comes from a place of confidence because they think they can get in, right? They might send 6-7 teams in a lot of years, but it is kind of interesting because it is a flex on everybody else to go that route for that league.
Yeah, I think that the SEC and the Big Ten, they are, I mean, absolutely more powerful together. And so do I think that long-term they will be at odds? I doubt it. I think that this is probably a temporary thing. And eventually, I don't know if it'll be the SEC or the Big Ten, which one of them will cave and come over. But eventually, I think that they'll be back on the same page because both conferences probably recognize how important it is for them to be in lockstep.
Well, it's important for them to be in lockstep. And we go back to the same conversation we've had a million times, or at least like the rallying cry for me with college football. They may think it's better if it's just them. I don't think it's better if it's just them because I think they lose the national capacity for us to care. It would regionalize a great deal. I don't care where the Big Ten puts its programs. You can have them on the West Coast, East Coast. You can put them on Mars. Like California isn't watching Big Ten football because Oregon's in there. Oregon fans are watching Big Ten football because Oregon fans are in there. But, you know, like other places aren't just automatically tuning in as a whole like we do in, let's say, the NFL. Man, if they ever fracture it, it will be one of the great mistakes of in sports history. We just won't care as much. And so I don't know if they're ready to admit that, but it is interesting to see the SEC back off of it. That is not something I expected to happen. And they just kind of did overnight. Just like all of a sudden, they're like, we don't want to do that anymore.
It does certainly seem like the SEC coaches are approaching this from a position of confidence and confidence in the conference as a whole, confidence in the number of bids that they're going to get. I mean, that's about the only reason why I think I agree with you that they would be on board with that particular format.
Now, if what the Big Ten is proposing goes into sort of league playoffs to get in, that would be awesome. Like, if could you imagine, and it'd be hard to do it because it's just hard to keep the championship, like a Big 12. And I told you yesterday, I feel like one of the reasons, like your market, maybe they're so resistant is because they lose the appeal of their Big 12 champ or their conference championship games. And I don't know how you could do the way the Big Ten's proposing it would be a way, right? You have you seed them out and you kind of play your way into the auto bids, and then you have the at-larges still there. But if you imagine that format for the Big 12 and you only have two, you'd put four teams in, but then how do you decide who's the Big 12 champion? You still in that format, you wouldn't need a Big 12 championship game. So I don't know how you'd do that. Now, in theory, you'd get two games instead of one. Does anybody care that it's the Big 12 championship if the winner gets a guaranteed spot into the playoff? I would say no, they don't. Like you'd care more about the bid into the CFP.
And that's what this is. I mean, let's be totally real about it. This is the preservation of conference championship games because as soon as you start guaranteeing multiple bids by league, by conference, then that completely takes away the need to have a conference championship.
But I do think I think there is a path for that to be an overall better outcome, like a more enjoyable as a fan. I'm talking about outcome, but I don't know how you define conference champions if you went that way, which is the problem.
I mean,
I think that's the question. Now, what you could do is you could divide conferences. Like, let's just take the Big 12. You split it into two divisions like you used to. You guarantee the bid for each, but you can't do that because it's a different committee, right, that puts them in. But you, if you know, if you didn't have that, you could take each division's winner, put them in, and then still let them play for a Big 12 championship. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard. It doesn't all fit together, and that's the problem. And that's why the auto bids, like in the short term, do probably make the most sense. I strategically look at it for the Big 12, and I'm like, I would take the two teams because I'm afraid there are years where they'd only have one. But I get all the reasons you don't want to do it. And again, just as we said yesterday, like I just am going to trust your Mark, who generally speaking has made all the right decisions. I'll just trust him. You know, I'll just trust him that, you know, maybe BYU would have gotten in a 16 team last year. I'm not comfortable with that. Like that makes me nervous. Tommy just sent me this little breaking news. Really a bummer. Justin Fields carted off at Jets practice at training camp. And we are reminded, sorry, I got a mosquito floating around here. We are reminded that the injuries are the worst part of this part of the season in the NFL schedule. And that's going to be a huge bummer. I'm actually, like, to be perfectly honest, I'm kind of intrigued to see Justin Fields with the Jets. He's not the most talented quarterback, but the dude is a freak athlete. And he has shown he can, like, funnel things to a player. He's got that in Garrett Wilson. I think a two-headed rushing attack between he and Breece Hall is at least intriguing. So I hope he's okay. That's going to kind of suck. I want to see the best for Breece Hall mostly.
Yeah. Adam Schefter reporting that he was carted to the locker room with an apparent lower leg injury. So no idea what that is and what the prognosis is, but they did bring the cart out for him. There are three other quarterbacks that are currently on the depth chart for the Jets. Those quarterbacks are Tyrod Taylor, Adrian Martinez, and Brady Cook. Those are the three quarterbacks currently on the roster other than Justin Fields for the Jets, and I can't imagine that they would roll with any one of those three if Justin Fields can't go.
I don't know what they'll do. I don't know what they'll do, but we'll keep our eye on that. A couple other things out of the NFL. I guess the Packers, their revenue sharing, the Packers, $430 million. If you're ever curious about how successful the NFL is as a league, that's pretty wild, to be perfectly honest with you, to think about. The 3M Open, let's check in there. You've got Sam Stevens tied for first at 3-under. He's through six. Adam Hadwin, he has a birdie through two, and Gary Woodland's even through two. So really watching all this closely here. That'd be fun. Could you imagine all three of them kind of staying in the mix here a little bit? What a blast that would be. But just a check in there, that's something hopefully we'll be keeping our eye on throughout the day today and into tomorrow here on the show, because that'll mean those three or any combination of those three are staying relevant. Otherwise we won't be interested in that golf tournament, but we are right now.
It's very, very, very early in the golf tournament. There's a long way to go, but at least a good start for those three guys.
Trade deadline rumors, I just continue to peruse them and look and see what's out there and who's reporting what. And the one that continues to stick, the one that you see more often than anything else, is Seth Lugo to the Cubs. Quite a spotlight for him to show them what he's got yesterday. The Cubs have some depth in their farm system. They're said to have their depth be position players, which is what the Royals need. And it just seems like a good fit. And, you know, the Cubs feel like they can probably go win a World Series this year. And they need some, you know, they need some help in their rotation. It is a very natural fit. They did get to scout him with every person in their organization yesterday, as he had a really nice performance against them at Wrigley Field, which is also important. So we'll see. I'm just going to stick to 50-50. And I know that seems a cop-out. I don't mean it to be a cop-out. I just mean there's a 50% chance the Royals trade him, right? I think the chances are pretty high that they move Seth Lugo. Interesting, though, to hear the players and the coaches get his back after the game yesterday and hope that they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's such an opportunity here, I think, for the Royals. If they can keep the core together and continue to play the way that they are, where they can make a push. I think it'd be different, like, because we talked about it earlier in the show. If the Tigers were playing good baseball right now and they had ran away with the division, and I know that they're 10 games ahead of the Royals right now, but it could be 15 or 18 games. ahead of the Royals right now in the division. That does potentially open up another door. Now, is it likely they can get all the way, make up 10 games on the Tigers? Probably not, but it's not. I would think the chances are certainly not zero, where if the chances were zero and the only opportunity they had was to scratch and claw their way to the third wild card spot, it might be a little bit different. But there are potentially a couple of different paths, a couple of different doors that could be cracked open slightly for the Royals to find their way into the playoffs and increase their odds. Knowing that, I mean, I've kind of gotten to this point over the last week or so. I don't want them to move Lugo. I feel like they can keep him, they can run with him, and then at least there is, you do get a draft pick if he does walk and you make him a qualifying offer.
I don't want them to move him just to move him. If they get an overwhelming offer, if they get the ability to get an everyday above average player in return, I'm okay with it. I'm selfish in it, though. It's because I want to see this team try to make a run.
Yeah.
And that's not the right place to come at it either, right? Like, that's just like, that's my selfish take on it, because I enjoy a playoff chase in baseball, honestly, as much as anything else in sports.
And wouldn't it be different too, though, if he walked at the end of the year? Day. Wouldn't it be different too if he walked at the end of the year and the Royals got nothing in return? You know, like if they didn't, if he left you just were out that player with nothing in return for him. I think it might be even different knowing that, but the fact that they can get a draft pick if and when he does walk away, if they can't re-sign him, at least you're getting something. And for me, that's enough to keep him on the roster to make this, have this team make a run, make a push.
There's a million reasons they can keep. They can keep him because they still have a chance to re-sign him. It is just a player option. Yes, they get the compensation. And yes, they'll go for the postseason. But like, what, so for me selfishly, it's just, I just want them to go for the postseason because it's more fun for us. If they're blown away with an offer, it's fine. Take the offer, right? I wish we had a little more clarity on Cole Reagans. I do wish that. That would make this all a little bit easier. But man, it's just, it's too much fun to have teams in the mix. It'd be different too, Tommy, if they didn't appear that they were going to be just fine for the future and be right back to contending next year one way or the other. There might be a little more desperation not to trade him. But does anybody think the Royals won't be good next year? I mean, they'll at least be this good next year. If so many good young players. I just like it. It really is all okay, which is a position of power for JJ Piccolo. JJ Piccolo can sit back and say, how desperate are you? What do you want to trade away? You're going to give me a top prospect? Okay, fine. If you're not, nah, we're good. We'll hold on and we'll try to do this thing.
So Buster Olney is reporting this morning that the Royals would probably need to market Lugo as more than just a rental. And I'm not exactly sure how they would market him as that. Like, maybe it's a conversation with Lugo, like, hey, if we move you to this particular team, what are the chances that you would sign long term with that team? I don't exactly know how they would market him that way, but that's one thing Olney is talking about, is that for the Royals to get the true value that they feel like they would need to get out of Lugo, they would need to market him as more than just a rental for the remainder of this season.
Yeah, I mean, no team's going to sign him right now, I don't think. You'd never see that in baseball. I mean, maybe it's as simple as the Royals will pay the rest of his contract this year.
Maybe. I mean, and
it's John Sherman's money. Why not?
It certainly seems like, and maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's, hey, Seth, we're going to trade you to the Cubs. If we trade you to the Cubs, do you think you would pick up the player option for next year?
He's not going to pick up the player option anywhere.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out ways that they can market him as more than just a rental.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, if I don't know what that's an interesting phrase. If they paid the rest of this year's salary, it's still in theory just a rental. So I'm not sure what that, I don't know what that looks like. Look, then there are things like Jaron Duran with the Red Sox. If the Royals wanted to go do that and put Lugo in there, they'd have to also put in a prospect. And maybe that's what he's talking about. Like, hey, we want to go trade him and use him as a way to get a bat. But if it's a dude like Duran, like, you're not getting Duran one for one for Lugo. So maybe that's more than the rental. Maybe you have to throw Lugo and a prospect in. It's hard to say. That's a little vague for me. Because if you're talking about like what his future after this season is, that's on the table for the Royals too, right? Unless he's going to sign an extension, the Royals have that same, they have that same desire to keep Lugo. I would think they would love to have Lugo. I would think if they could give Lugo the exact same deal as they just gave Michael Wacha, they'd love to do it if he'd take it, but I don't think he will. I think he'll be more valuable on the market, but Tommy, you'd have thought he would have been more valuable on the market when the Royals signed him too. So you never know.
The difference is he didn't strike out a lot of guys. The difference then to now is that he didn't have the body of work as a starter. He had one season under his belt as a starting pitcher. Entering free agency now, he'll have 3 years under his belt as a starter. More than likely, this is going to be the last contract, multi-year contract that he gets. So, I mean, I agree with you. When you say he's not going to pick up the player option anywhere, I don't disagree. I mean, I think he'd be stupid to do that anywhere. I'm just trying to figure out how the Royals could market him at all as more than just a rental.
You know, the only reason I bring that up is because I keep, like, by the numbers, I mean, he was second in Cy Young last year. He's been really good. He's very consistent. He gets you deep into games. I keep thinking he'll be like the top guy on the market, but he's not being painted that way in any reporting or rumor that you see. And so then it does make me wonder, like, what will his value be on the open market next year? Is it much higher than what Waka's just was when the Royals got it? I mean, I don't know. I think it should be, but he doesn't strike a lot of guys out, which we know teams value a great deal. Like, I mean, maybe it's not as high as we think it is just because we watch him all the time and we realize the dude is nails and he's a battler and he does all these things. Maybe it's not as high as we think. Maybe the player option is on the table. Maybe that money over a couple extra years is all it would take to get him to sign. And if you told me any of those things were on the table, I'd tell you the Royals don't need to trade Seth Lugo. If they can go sign Seth Lugo to a 3-year, $45 million extension, then don't trade Seth Lugo. Keep Seth Lugo. Like, that's a tremendous screaming value.
He's not going to go for 15 a year. He's going to go for 25 a year.
I think he should go for, but he's older. And like the way that he's being painted on the market, I mean, I would agree with you. I think he's very, very valuable. But let's just quickly take a look. Like, he will be in line. Like, Blake Snell just got $28 million a year, right? Robbie Ray just got $25 million a year. I don't see any world where he's not up north of, I think, and I've seen this comparison before, and I think it's perfect, the Nate Eovaldi deal. 3 years at like 25-ish a year. I feel like 3 years and 75 is what Lugo will command. Maybe not. I mean, he was undervalued the last time he was a free agent. I think Wacha was undervalued this past offseason too. So we'll see. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up on this Thursday morning. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great sponsor of the show. We're coming up to the end of July. We're coming up to the fall. You never know what kind of deals might be out there for membership at Crestview Country Club. Give Todd a call out there. Go check out the facilities, take a tour, and check it out. Appreciate their support. No Royals baseball tonight, Tommy. We can catch our breath a little bit. It's been a pretty feverish sports week, and we'll just continue to sniff around the NFL. This is that fun time of year. We're getting news every day now.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer. And then, of course, by the day, the trade deadline, the rumors around that for Major League Baseball, that continues to get louder.
Major League Baseball's trade deadline is the best trade deadline. There's no question. All right, we'll come back tomorrow. We'll do it all over again for Tommy, Max, and Jacob. See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.